This week we've been hearing about the services this country offers to people in need. Yesterday we heard from Michael Flood of the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, who told us use of their food pantries is up 40%. Today we hear from three states where people are going beyond the traditional canned food drive to meet demand. We'll start here in California.
From Redlands, California, I'm Kimin Sung. A team of orange pickers work like hummingbirds, briskly extracting fruit from Valencia orange trees. They're picking the fruit for the Inland Orange Conservancy, a community-supported agriculture group based in the Inland Empire. Director Bob Knight.
We have these legacy trees that are really old, and the older the orange tree, the sweeter the orange. So we have this real jewel here in Southern California.
Members pay $65 a year to receive 10 pounds of local oranges every week. Leftovers are donated to local food banks. Also, the Inland Orange Conservancy harvests fruit from trees that would otherwise not make it to the market because they are either too small or blemished.
Farming in general, there's a huge amount of leftover produce that's just part of the process. And typically that produce just gets plowed under, taken to a landfill. But by having these groves right next to an urban population that has poor people that just really need fresh food, it's possible to take that fresh produce to them directly.
And the need for that fresh fruit has gained urgency because the Inland Empire is one of the regions hit hardest by the housing bust. When the Conservancy started donating fruit 3 years ago, they gave a half ton of fruit to the needy every week. Now, they donate nearly 8 tons. And distributing 8 tons of fruit every week? That requires the help of hundreds of local volunteers.
Come on. Hop, over.
Jim Frazier and his dog Jesse came by the packing house to pick up fruit.
On Fridays, I do Gerard's. On Tuesdays, I go to Augie's, which is a coffee shop here in Redlands, and then I go over to Riverside.
71-year-old Barbara Wormser of the food bank Inland Harvest has also come by to pick up the oranges, grapefruits, and kiwi fruits that fill up her Honda minivan.
My son says the car smells, but I pick up a lot of food.
Oh, kiwi!
Her first stop is the Central City Lutheran Mission.
Get you some fruit.
Yeah, let me get the shopping cart.
Yeah.
Pops QB Snow, who helps run the shelter, says he's seeing more people line up for help. And everyone's glad to see Barbara.
I appreciate it every day because I know what it means to be hungry because I came from the street, Inland Harvest. Okay. If it wasn't for her, we wouldn't even eat. If it wasn't for Barbara, we wouldn't even eat.
Pops then loads his cart with the fruits of the Inland Orange Conservancy and wheels it into the mission. For NPR News, I'm Kimin Sung in Redlands, California.
This is Laurel Morales in Flagstaff, Arizona. Local butcher and hunter Dennis Champagne has donated thousands of pounds of elk, deer, and buffalo meat to the Northern Arizona Food Bank over the past 5 years. This Thanksgiving, he'll give 6 deer and an elk to the hungry. That's about 1,400 meals. Champagne is a paradox. He's a butcher and a hunter and a sentimental animal lover.
I have 3 cats, 3 dogs, bird, a couple fish. I love them.
2 of his dogs wag their tails fervently at his feet. They probably like what they smell. Champagne greets me with a fist bump because his hands are covered with blood. As we enter his processing shop, the smell of raw meat is overwhelming. A huge skinless buffalo hangs from a hook. Champagne and his crew are cutting the buffalo into T-bones and porterhouses and grinding up what's left to make buffalo burgers. Champagne's crew wields carving knives, hand saws, pretty much anything that's sharp.
What's that loud noise?
That's the saw. That's the bandsaw.
Oh, okay.
Meat saw.
Oh, okay.
She makes little pieces out of big pieces, pretty much.
Outside where it's quieter, Champagne explains how he got into hunting as a teenager.
My dad bought me a rifle for Christmas.
Tears come to Champagne's eyes.
My 12-year-old, 10 years old, his first animal was a 2,800-pound buffalo, and he dropped it with that same rifle my dad gave me. So if, I get a little choked up, it's because that's why I enjoy hunting so much.
He says sharing that joy is what it's all about, whether it's helping a new hunter get his first kill or providing meat for families less fortunate. About 5 years ago, the food bank asked him if he or his customers had any leftover meat to donate. Usually, Champagne can talk them into donating at least 10 or 20 pounds. Over the years, it's added up.
I'm up to approximately 33,000 pounds of meat, and I'm pretty proud of those figures.
Champaign is part of a national program called Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. The idea behind the program isn't new. Historically, hunters always provide it for their communities. Back inside the shop, the crew has finished the buffalo and is working on an elk. As Champaign watches their progress, he recalls his last hunt.
This last animal we got, I knelt down and said a prayer and petted her. Sometimes it chokes you up, but then once that part's all over and you're enjoying a nice roast or a nice gorgeous elk burger, you can't beat it.
And when it comes time to sit down at the dinner table, he says he's always grateful. For NPR News, I'm Laurel Morales in Flagstaff.
From New Hampshire, I'm Dan Gorenstein. 11 students sit in a nondescript room at the New Hampshire Food Bank in Manchester. It's the first day of their 8-week culinary training course. Chef Jason McCarter asks his new students to introduce themselves.
My name is Wayne Richmond, and I've had a drug problem most of my life.
My name is Kenneth Samar Jr. My most recent job was being a dishwasher for the dairy field. I had to, end up quitting because of the fact that, I made some poor decisions.
Most everybody in the room tells McCarter how life has knocked them around. Part of what attracts folks to the program, Recipe for Success, is that it isn't just learning to cut carrots or prepare pasta. The goal is to get students, all either unemployed or earning meager wages, into better-paying jobs. McCarter understands that, so he tries to deliver a practical education.
I can train somebody really quickly on how to make this dish and how to make that dish, but I can't train them quickly on how to think on their feet. What happens if you need 50 portions of this one entree and half of your chicken went bad?
McCarter says after 260 hours of kitchen time, after food safety certification and positive reinforcement, he brings in chefs from nearby restaurants.
I think I actually got a chance to work with the students, and they were all really surprised how fast they were able to get things done. And that's showing that to them in advance is going to go a long way when it comes time to get these folks jobs.
8 of the first 10 students to graduate found work within 2 weeks. The New Hampshire Food Bank collects perishables like meat, poultry, and fish that can't be distributed. But instead of good food going to waste, McCarter and his students use it to make meals for kids at the Boys and Girls Club in Manchester.
When you see a little boy come up for seconds and thirds, and he can't look you in the eye, but he'll come up and shake your hand to say thank you, it brings a tear to your eye. There's people out there that are hungry.
The most recent Recipe for Success class graduated earlier this month. But with the economic downturn, it's getting harder to place the students. At the same time, more and more people are applying to the program. David Roberts knows how tough it is to find work. He's been looking for the right job for over a year. He's so excited, he's already made up a list of dishes he wants to learn.
Duck. I'd like to try and learn how to cook duck, because I heard duck is really good. Or I tried shepherd's pie once. I didn't succeed. So I'm hoping this class will help me make a good shepherd's pie. Me, I'm not one for mixing hamburger and mashed potatoes and corn together. But other people, that's how they like it.
When I ask Roberts what he'll be thinking about this Thanksgiving, he says, Monday, coming back to class. For NPR News, I'm Dan Gorenstein in Concord, New Hampshire.
If you'd like to see some photos from one of these food banks, please go to our website. It's npr.org. Stay with us on Day to Day from NPR News.